And this morning we're going to be putting aside the corny jokes and everyone's disappointment, but we're going to be spending a little bit of time in Genesis. And there's a passage of scripture that's actually in 2 Timothy verse 1 where we'll get to. And we'll start with 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, and then we'll hop on over to Genesis. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about Mother's Day, and we're going to talk about grace. You know, there's a situation that occurred recently in the Clark family, and the idea and the point of where is the grace? Sometimes when stress overtakes you, right, and there's all your to-do list is longer than you can do, and you're just overwhelmed, sometimes grace seems to be not there. And I think, you know, moms have, and maybe not every mom, but I think a lot of moms tend to be very gracious with their kids. And I think that's one of the mechanisms I think God has designed in this world to help communicate who he is, right? Because isn't God gracious? Oh, my word, is he. You know, and so grace is something that is just so important. And what was that? Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you said something, Tim. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, I came across this. This was, I think, I don't know if it was during seminary years or what. But as I was studying chapter 2, verse 1, it just really struck my heart. And it talks about the power of grace and what grace can do and what it can and how it can strengthen us. And it says this. So thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what stood out to me as I was studying this passage years ago was I took some Greek and Hebrew in the seminary, and so as I was translating this part, and I began to realize this idea that you're to be strong in the grace. You know, this sometimes in English has a sense that we gotta, you know, work ourselves up and be super, you know, focused, and we're going to be strong, right? We're going to, like someone's gearing up for a game or something. And that has no bearing to what the Greek actually says. The idea of this idea of being strong in the grace is this idea that the grace is giving you strength. In other words, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When I came across, I thought, wow, you know, was Timothy already saved? Yeah. I don't know how long you've been saved. It's not like, you know, the Bible's recorded Timothy was saved on such and such a day. You know, we don't have that information, but I think it's pretty evident that he's accepted the Lord. And sometimes grace is always applied to salvation, right? Whenever we talk about grace, we talk about it like Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? For by grace you've been saved through faith, and I yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A lot of times we apply grace to salvation, and how often do we kind of, now we're in life, we're already saved now, so now, you know, grace is still a part of our life. It should be. And this verse really, to me, helped me understand more that the strength to get through today and through the challenges of life, one of the sources is the grace. Is allowing grace to strengthen you. And so what's grace? You know, one of the popular definitions is unmerited favor, right? What does that mean, right? It's sometimes you need a definition for the definition of a word. And so this idea of unmerited favor is, we know what favor is, right? Think of someone likes you or they don't, right? And so unmerited is there's nothing you've done for that person to like you. So when someone is gracious to you, it's like you've done nothing to earn that. So if you've done nothing to earn it, what do you earn? Probably the opposite, right? What does Paul teach in Romans about wages? Wages of sin is death. You know, so you figure, you know, as human beings, and then we're going to get to a little bit, because we're going to go back to Genesis. And we begin to look more about this world we live in. Is it perfect? Or is it far from it? Far from it, right? Yeah, this would be the definition of an imperfect world that we live in, right? We only knew all of this goes on. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever experienced a situation or came about with some knowledge of what's going on and it just makes you sick? And imagine God that sees and knows it all. We get disgusted with certain news. We get sad and disheartened. And if we see just a sliver, imagine Almighty God who sees and knows it all. Talking about grace, right? His patience and his long suffering. So when it comes to grace, let's remember that grace is unmerited favor. That means think of it as a blessing that you did not receive, you did not earn, you did not work for. The Lord blesses. When you're overwhelmed, you're done, you can't take another step, you know what you need to do? Remember grace. Remember the grace of the Lord that helps reduce the pressure, helps reduce, you know, stress. And think of grace almost like a gap filler. You guys ever seen that spray foam insulation? You guys ever messed with that stuff? It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. You know, it's just spray, but then it begins to expand and fill in all the voids. Think of God's grace as a gap filler in our lives. When we fall short, let's remember, God's going to cover the holes. I don't understand necessarily how he decides when we need to suffer a little bit for our consequences, right? For our shortcomings. But when he decides to allow us to be insulated, I don't always understand all that he does. But I do know this, he's good. He loves me. And if he fills a gap, I praise him. If not, then guess what? There's a lesson to be learned, right? But this morning, as we think about moms and you know, think about grace. Think about our Heavenly Father and the grace that shadows us. Let's remember, do all that you can. When you fall short, don't ever forget the grace of God. There have been times that there's too much going on in my life and I wasn't able to deliver certain things. You know what always happened? Something would come up that was out of my control. The school class was canceled. Someone came in sick. I needed a little extension there. He does. That's grace. Let's remember. Allow the grace that's in Christ Jesus to strengthen you. Because he's there. Just like that poem or that little short little, it's a poem about footprints in the sand. You don't find that in the Bible. But the principles, I think you will. He'll carry you through. Just like moms have done. Maybe found some other great zingers. There's not to share. Anyways, with that, let's bow our heads in word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning and this day that our nation has set aside, Father, to honor our mothers, Lord. After all, Father, that is a biblical precedent that you have communicated, and that it is part of our job that as Christians, Lord, it is our job of being obedient is to show our mothers honor, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to honor them. Lord, and there's times, Father, that they exhibit great grace in our lives. And Father, sometimes as we get older, we begin to see things differently. And And I pray, Lord, that we would allow the grace to strengthen us. Help us understand, Lord, that we need you. That without you, Lord, we would not be able to achieve anything in this life. You are the giver and sustainer of life. You are the giver of grace. So this morning, Father, I pray that you would impart to us all the grace that we need to live. Where there are shortcomings that we all have. There's times that we're overwhelmed and lose focus and don't know what to do. I pray, Father, that we would trust you and that we would grow in grace. That we would rely on you and the grace that's only in you, Father. Bless our morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 3, verse 20. Is where we're going to start this morning. And we're going to be bouncing around a little bit in Genesis. You know, I've never preached through or taught through the book of Genesis yet. And eventually one day I'm going to do that. But that day has not yet come. But Genesis 3, verse 20, it's a really good verse. And it says this: "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." So who was the grandmother of all? Eve was, right? And she was the first woman that God created, right? And how he created, pretty amazing. You know, he took a rib from Adam and made Eve. How did he do that? Did he have a mask on and surgical gloves in a surgical room and put them out? We don't, obviously not. You know, who knows what God did? But just imagine that the Lord can perform procedures like that. You know, in Sunday school, Marvin's gone and Josh isn't feeling, so I'll be filling in for the Sunday school. And we're going to be talking about some of the names of God this morning. And the names of God describe attributes about him. It's pretty cool just to take time to stop and think. And one of the names we're going to learn is about how the Lord who heals. So the fact that God was able to remove a rib from Adam and to create, you know, a functioning human from that is just mind-blowing, right? What's the science behind that? God said it, right? And there it is. But so we look at Genesis 3, verse 20. You know, the Bible tells us that there was a first mother, right? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Right? What came first? You know, the human or the embryo? Well, the human did, right? God created Adam and Eve, and Eve was the mother of all. Now, what's interesting, let's read verse 21. "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them." That's nice. God the tailor, right? I figured those clothes fit pretty well, huh? Oh, man, talking about precision. But why did God make coats for them? Well, there's something that we haven't talked about yet in here, right? If you go back in the story, what happened? They disobeyed God, and sin entered into the world. And with that, death entered. Now, did Adam and Eve wear clothes before this? No. They had some leaves covering themselves, right, whenever they sinned. But here we see God clothing them. Have you ever told somebody not to do something, and you're pretty clear? They understood. There was no question. Then lo and behold, guess what just happened? They did the very thing you said not to do. At that moment, are you happy? Is there some rage going on? Possibly. Some fury, you know, some wrath bubbling up. Your Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Vesuvius, ready to erupt, you know. Now, obviously, you know, God did have some words to say. But we see the Lord clothing them. You know, and this is where we get this idea of the first sacrifice, right? The first sacrifice that was made because of sin was because of their disobedience. And so because of that, they realized they were naked, so they needed clothes. So God provided them the clothes to cover them. So we see God exhibiting grace. Now you think about it. Did Eve need a lot of grace? Think about this. If she was the mother of all living, I wonder what it was like as she grew older. Turn to Genesis 6, verse 5 and 8. This is a really pivotal passage in the narrative of the Bible. And in Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8, it says this. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found what? Grace. The eyes of the Lord. The reason I bring this section up is when Noah found grace. But you figure, if Eve was the mother of all the living, what were her kids and grandkids and great-great-grandkids? And you keep going down the grade till you get to the day of the flood. What was the family looking like? Was she proud of them? Did it grieve her heart to see all those going on? Now, was Eve even alive during this time? Well, it's kind of neat, right? If you look at the ages of Adam, he was alive about Adam. I'm sorry, Adam died about 125 years before Noah's birth. So Adam was around a long time. Now, do we know when Eve died? Scripture doesn't say. But if Adam lived that long, do you think Eve lived probably a long time too? So she lived long enough to see what the world was turning into. To what extent, we don't know. They think about this. Was the world getting better, or was the world getting worse? Getting worse. Now, clearly, at this point, you know, when the time of the flood and in time of Noah, Adam had already been, he's deceased. But when you look at the character of man, were these people worse, more of a sinner than Adam and Eve? What's the wages of sin? That pays the same, right? No matter what sin it is, it all pays the same. It's all death. But you look at the character and the quality of the human, despite their sinfulness, look at how much time they devoted to the Lord or to their own sinful desires. And you begin to see in verse 5 is very, very vivid, right? That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, that meaning man or mankind, was only evil continually. Have you ever had an evil thought? Oh, you have? We all have, right? And when we have evil thoughts, what should we do with them? We should try to forget them, but sometimes we can't, right? So guess what we need to do? We need to ask God to forgive us and heal our mind, you know, help us renew our mind so we don't get stuck on those things. Because Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, guess what happens? The mouth speaks, right? Think of, the heart is Lake Almanor, and the mouth is a spillway, right? Going down into Butt Reservoir. As it overflows, they need to release some of the pressure off the dam there. So they open it up so it goes out. Well, guess what? You can only hold in so long, you know, and all of a sudden it's going to come out. If the thoughts of men were continually evil, what does that say about them? They weren't doing their due diligence, right, to do what we should be doing, right? It's confessing our sins. Right? Saying, Father, that's wrong. That thought is evil. Help me, Lord. Help me to overcome this so that way I am not captivated by these things. Well, these people no longer did that. They allowed these thoughts to consume themselves so that their thoughts were evil continually. Think of a person just trying to figure ways to get do evil on people. Man, what a horrible place to be. We call those type of people predators today, right? They prey on people. Well, the Word of God says the reason for the flood, because the whole world was filled with predators. But Noah found grace. Now, Eve, we don't know if she was alive at this point, but she would have seen, right? Yeah, every generation getting worse and worse and worse. How would that make her feel as a mother of all living? After all, why are they getting worse? What was the cause of all of this? Now, we don't know if Eve saw it. We don't know the quality of the world, you know, when Eve passed away. But we do see this in Genesis 4. What happens in Genesis 4? Cain. Could you imagine having one of your children murdering Sybil? Could you imagine that? I can't fathom that. Does it happen? Oh, yes, there have been atrocities like this for generations, ever since the beginning. I can't fathom that. But the mother of all living, that's what she saw firsthand. Imagine the hurt she would have felt. You know, I've known some mothers that their children have died, you know, long before, you know, than they should have. And the sorrow that they feel, it's just immense. So think of Eve, you know, watching her descendants suffer due to sin. Do you think she needed some grace? How could you live with yourself, knowing full well but all of this is because what you've done? I think that's the hardest part, right? It's one thing for us to suffer for our own wrongdoings, right? But to watch other people suffer because of our wrongdoings, doesn't that hurt more? Eve, the mother of all, saw firsthand of what her children we're doing. Now, let's go to Genesis 2, and we're going to look at verse 16 and 17. As you're turning there, you know the grace that was there in Eve's life after Cain killed Abel? You know what happened later on? She had Seth. Seth was a good kid. He honored the Lord. It was almost like, once again, God exhibited grace to Eve. Kind of cool. But we look at Genesis 2, we're looking at verses 16 and 17. And 16 and 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Was this a figurative death? No. Once they partook of that, guess what happened? Their bodies began to fade. How long did it take them to fade?
930 years.
For Adam, 930 years. That's a long time, right? But God told them they could do whatever they wanted, right? eat of any tree except this one. And if you do, what's going to happen? Death. Now, who does it say that God spoke to? The man. He told Adam this. And guess what? As we continue to read, guess what we see next? And in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. Is it possible that Eve wasn't even made yet? Yeah, very possible. And so God told Adam in the very beginning, don't do that. And then he made Eve. Now, as we look at Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did not eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did. Mm-hmm. Did. She ate it too. It wasn't a poison apple that the wicked witch gave to Snow White. Okay. So what happened? Obviously, God held Adam accountable. As you read in 1 Timothy, you'll read how Adam, the woman was deceived, but Adam transgressed. Now, since God told Adam, don't eat of this, do you think Adam would have shared that information? Even if he didn't explicitly tell Eve, hey, Eve, God said for us not to eat of this. Do you think she would put two and two together and come up before, you know what, it's interesting. We eat that tree, that tree, that tree, that tree, that tree, but we never eat that tree. Do you think she would say that? I think it's not anything Adam would say. But God said not to. But you begin to see how she rationalized things. Now, granted, we didn't read the part where Satan deceived her, but we look at her thoughts. She saw that it was good, right? It was good for food. Probably nice and juicy. Do we know what kind of tree it was? What kind of tree do you think you would like it to be? A watermelon tree. A peach. Let's stick with a peach tree. So they think of the perfect peach. She saw that it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Why did she say that? Oh, well, because the serpent told her, right? So she took and she ate of it. And not only did she eat of it, but what did she do? She gave it to Adam. And Adam. Now, do you think the thought ever crossed your mind? If only I was not tricked and not have given this to my husband, not have eaten it, none of this stuff would have ever happened. Abel would still be alive today. I would have never done. For she was the mother of all living. Do you think there's ever regret? What? It would have. The scripture isn't sure the thing that she thought about. But have you looked at your life and pinpointed certain times or certain events? That if this would not have happened, it would have changed. Yeah. We call that guilt, regret. We call it all kinds of things. Why do you think Paul told Timothy to be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus? Do you think Timothy was a perfect person? Was he a perfect pastor? He did everything right. He aced every single test that life ever threw at him. That he needed the grace to be the gap fillers where he fell short. So we look at Adam and Eve. Do they need grace? And imagine living for 930 years and seeing the consequence of your sin repeat itself over and over and over and over again. How overwhelming would that be? You love all of your kids, and yet you see consequence of your sins on your child. That's all. Now, are there any perfect mothers? There's no perfect mothers, right? Do we have some great mothers? Is there a good mother, Julie? There's, unfortunately, at our very best, we still do things. The consequences. You know what we need? We need grace, right? We need the grace from our Lord Jesus Christ to help us. Because does God want us to live defeated lives? Does he want us to say, oh, it's helpless, it's hopeless, it's not worth it, might as well go curl up, right? What's that song by Eat Some Worms? No, I don't remember. There's a song. Big one, fat one. No, not coconut. It was all about, I'm going to go eat some worms. The life is just horrible. I might as well just eat some worms, you know. God wanted to live these lives. Oh, life is so miserable. And I hate this. Is that what God wants us to do? You know, it's like, and we can live that way, being completely oblivious to what we've done wrong, right? Just by looking at other people. We can see, oh my word, why don't they do this? If they would only do that, why don't they do that? Like, come on, people, wake up. If we'd only begin to look in our own selves, what would we see? And it's overwhelming, right? Look what Paul said in Romans, right? Who will deliver me from this body of sin? See, Paul. Was Paul a good guy? I think he was an exceptional man. Talking about a man of God, I would put Paul in that category. Not because he was a preacher, but because I think he lived it. But so somebody that was living his life for the Lord like that. And he himself was struggling, right? This was not just some, you know, a time to ponder. Yes, if only I wasn't a sinner, what would this, you know? This was not him just, you know, theorizing away, justifying things, trying to make himself, you know, feel better. No, he was, I believe he was genuine when he said, who's going to deliver me? And Paul told Timothy in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy that he is the chiefest of all sinners. Right? Paul knew very well, he was very in tune with himself. He knew his shortcomings. He knew he was a sinner. Did he live a defeated life? It's not worth it. They're never going to listen. I'm never going to overcome this. Is that the life he lived? I think he was strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus, right? Just like Eve, who dealt with a lot of her thoughts. You know, people always say Mary was a ponderer. She pondered this and pondered that. Well, that's what scripture says. But I think Eve had a whole lot more to think about. And the grace of the Lord would be the only thing that would enable her to move forward. Just as the Lord clothed them with skins, just as he gave them another son to replace Abel, just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he found grace. And I think the grace makes all the difference. When you're overwhelmed and overcome, you know what you need? You need some grace. So for you, when was the last time you acknowledged to the Lord, God, I just need some grace right now? If you haven't done it for a long time, you know, I encourage you, start asking for it. You know what he'll do? He'll help you. He'll help you carry your burdens. So that way you're not defeated. But instead, guess what? Those who wait on the Lord, what will happen? They will renew their strength. See, part of waiting on the Lord, part of strength, being strengthened by waiting on him, is grace. All right, God's going to use a couple shots of steroids. You're going to real quick and be able to take care of anything. You know, there's no, you know, special remedy, you know, some fantastic for it because you're out in space and you got some solar winds that genetically altered your DNA, or it's not like Captain America that you got the super soldier serum or whatever, all this, they become this superhuman people. No. It comes by the grace of the Lord. So, for Mother's Day, for those of us that cry out to mom three times because we forgot a towel, and he doesn't come right away for the call four times, you know, so like, let's be a little gracious, shall we? Maybe dinner wasn't too spectacular, but that's okay. Let's be a little gracious. I'll never forget this. True story. I asked my mom to do some laundry because I need it for the next day. And all my whites, guess what they came out as?
Pink.
That was a pivotal moment in my life. Okay, Lord, I need to start doing my own laundry now. Because mom can't do it. Not that she did not do laundry. Not that she did laundry well. But guess what? Things happen. Where's the grace? You know, let's be gracious one to another. Isn't grace such a wonderful thing? Grace isn't just, you know, la, 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 la. No. Grace acknowledges the problem, but guess what? We're in this together, and let's get through this, right? That's grace. Instead of being puffed up about things, what you know, and what the other person evidently doesn't know, because we're telling the other person what we know, because that will help them change everything. Instead, don't we need to grow in charity? And love, because it's what love is what builds up, right? So let's grow in grace. Do I need to grow in grace? I do. Talk to my boys. Talk to my wife. I'll wrap myself out. I need the grace. Sometimes life gets too much. So let's remember grace. It's that pressure relief valve. Instead of turning to some sins, let's reject that. Let's go to the good source, right? The grace. Say, God, forgive me. I need grace right now and help me through. You know what he'll do? He'll do it. So gain strength knowing that Jesus is a gap filler. He will help you get through it. Just because someone set a deadline, does that mean God has to follow people's deadlines? I know there's a lot of deadlines thrown out there nowadays about, you know, electronic vehicles and this and that. And by 2050, you know, emissions are going to be down to here. And there's nothing wrong with setting projections and goals like that. But does that mean God's got to follow all that? Does that mean God's got to do all that? Last time we checked, who created the heavens and the earth? It wasn't man, right? If we didn't create it, how are we going to keep it? We need him. So Mother's Day, let's be gracious. And let's remember the grace that our mother shared on us. And for some, they may not have had a perfect mother like Joey. But let's still remember grace. Because one day we're going to look back and we can have a lot of regret. What saved thee? Lord's grace. Imagine the sorrow and the hurt that she experienced watching the consequences of her, your husband's decision to repeat itself over and over and over again. I don't know how long it was when Abel was murdered. He experienced a premature death, right? Parents are supposed to outlive their children. Yet Eve, what did she experience? A lot of sorrow. So if you got sorrow, stress, overwhelmed, defeated, and despair, that's what we need. We all need, right? We need grace. So remember 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. But be strong that's in the grace. Be strong in grace that is found in Jesus Christ. That will be the strength that we need to get through this. Is God real? So can he really help you? Yes, he can. Can we do it? Yes. Right? The Lord, right? Let's remember him. And let's not be overwhelmed with this world. And when we get there, guess what we need to do? Lord, help, right? I need some real help here to get through the day. Because life is like drinking from a fire hose. A little bit overwhelming and it's going to hurt. So what we need grace. Paul says, go to Jesus. He will give you grace. Isn't that good? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Father, for your grace. We don't know why you love us. We don't know why you help us, Lord. You just do, Lord. You said that you will. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to not to lean on our own understanding, Lord. Just like Eve did. She leaned on her own understanding, Father, and what came about on of it, Lord, was a lot of hurt. I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to grow in wisdom and understand, Father, that what we need in times of stress and great pressure, of feeling inadequate or unable or things that are beyond our control, Lord, help us to remember the power of grace. That while we all are under authority, there's people over us that set deadlines and tasks and responsibilities, Father. Let us never forget that you are still the creator. You are still God. You have not given up your role. Thank you, Lord, for never doing that. So, Lord, help us. Help us to come to you frequently, daily, moment by moment, Lord, for your grace. And I pray, Lord, that your grace would strengthen us, Father, so that we would be able to live with the consequences that occur in this world. Help us to be overcomers. Help us not to be defeated emotionally, spiritually, Lord, but instead, Father, help us to renew our strength, renew our mind. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our Sunday school time they're about to go into, Lord. And I just pray that it'd be a great time. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to have some great things that we can share about our mothers as we come back after Sunday school, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the mothers in our lives that have exhibited grace to us, their patience, and the long-suffering. We thank you and bless our time as we continue on with our Sunday school in Jesus' name.